Well, to the accompaniment of a Spitfire and a Typhoon fighter jet, we're talking to Richard Clarke. Now, this is Operation 2015 XH-558, but this is Vulcan to the sky. Tell me about it.
Well, Vulcan to the sky operates the world's last flying Vulcan, of course, and this is our final season. The aircraft will be retired at the end of this season, so we're urging people to come and see it as often as they can and as soon as they can, because it is an icon. It's a tribute to British engineering. It's a fantastic aircraft, and as people have seen from the display today, it really does attract great crowds and great emotion.
I think emotion is one thing. I think the one thing, it's got an enormous amount of grace to it, hasn't it? Right. Even when it's sort of really full power, with those Vulcan engines going full chat, I mean, it's still very elegant in its own particular way, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think, considering its design from the late 40s, it's fantastic, really. You've got, as you say, you've got grace, you've got power, manoeuvrability, and it turns like a fighter. Incredible, really. I mean, it hasn't got a yoke for the pilot. It's got a stick like a fighter has, and they use it accordingly, as you see by the turns and everything else. I mean, it really, and also I think from a display point of view, it's great. It keeps well within the area of the crowd. It doesn't go away and come back again. It's always in sight of the crowd, which is fantastic.
Who was flying the Vulcan here at RAF Cosford Air Show?
It was Bill Ramsey, who was captain, Martin Withers in the right-hand seat, and Jonathan Lazari, air electronics officer.
I imagine they must feel very, this is lovely. This Typhoon is giving us a really lovely display. So I just want a break while we watch this guy disappear into the clouds. He's gone for good now. The Spit is still kicking around here as well. But no, just tell us again, who was flying today?
Yeah, captain was Bill Ramsey, who actually carried out the display. Right-hand seat, Martin Withers, and the air electronics officer was Jonathan Lazari.
I imagine they must feel sort of certain types of emotion when they're in that aircraft, don't they?
Yeah, they do, because they've all flown the aircraft in RAF service, so of course they're going back to something they probably thought they never would do again. Mm. And they all say what a fantastic aircraft it is. The pilots say it's the best aircraft in terms of handling, manoeuvrability, and ease of flying. Mm. And obviously, from the way they fly, you can see that's definitely the case.
And it's a monster of the skies as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I was with somebody who went across to the Cold War Museum just today, and she couldn't believe the size of it. I said, wait till you see it in the air, then. That's absolutely nothing. But when you see it in the air, you'll get a real appreciation of the scale of it. And also, as you said, the sheer grace of the aircraft, the shape, it all lends itself to being a very good display aircraft and very attractive.
In many ways, it was well ahead of its time in terms of design, wasn't it?
Miles ahead, yeah. As I said, 1948 was that design. Roy Chadwick, who died before he had a chance to see it fly, of course, sadly. But it still looks futuristic today. I mean, obviously, from there came Concorde, the Delta Wings, the Olympic engines. You know, they're all sort of part of that. So therefore, it was one of those situations whereby it led to a lot of different engineering innovations.
Well, if you look at the Typhoon jet that we've just been watching flying around here at RAF Cosford Air Show, I mean, that is a typical example of a sort of modification of what was the design of the Vulcan.
Yeah, Delta Wings. You know, amazing. Fantastic, still there. That was, you know, and that's how many years on, you know, that design has carried through and has proved to be durable and, you know, a good example of British engineering.
What was so lovely was I just caught up with Rachel Hayhoe Flint.
Oh, yes.
And I can remember Rachel and I had dinner with Jack Hayward, so Jack Hayward and his wife in London. And this was before she was off to Australia with the England women team, who came back with the Ashes.
Oh, right, yeah.
And so Jack was very much involved, I think, in supporting their trip to Australia. And of course, likewise, I mean, he was very much the man who was the saviour for the Vulcan.
Well, he was, yeah. I mean, back in August 2006, I remember it very well. The project was on its feet, on its knees, should I say. I do apologise.
On its knees.
Feet are the same principle, yeah. But suffice to say that we were that near to the end because we'd run out of money. Mm. And we're entering a very important phase of the engineering project where a lot of money is spent over that time period. And, of course, we didn't have it. He came in the last minute and gave us a massive donation, massively generous donation of £500,000. And that saved the Vulcan project. You would not have seen that Vulcan here today if he hadn't done it, because it would have been, the project would have had to close and the charity wind up.
And it's also a legacy to Jack himself as well, who died recently.
Sadly, and it was, I gather, his 91st birthday today, so he would have been here to see that aircraft, and it would have been a tribute to him, and that's why we actually dedicated the flight to him today, to say thank you so much for saving the project and allow us to fly the aircraft for what will now be 8 years.
Fantastic. What about Richard Clarke? How did you get involved in this project?
Well, there's a story. I'll convince it to 1 minute. I was a punter, if you like. I was a supporter. I went to air shows back in the 80s, and then when the aircraft came to Bruntingthorpe, I saw it land for the final time, quote unquote. And I was asked if I'd get involved, and I did do. And really, I got involved with the Vault of the Sky Club, which was formed in 1997, and then basically I went to work for the trust as a volunteer, and now I'm a trustee as well as doing the press and PR.
Fantastic. Were you a plane spotter?
Depends how you define a plane spotter. I didn't collect numbers, but I did enjoy seeing aircraft fly.
Take sort of foldable chairs at the end of runways.
Maybe not quite that far, but certainly an aviation enthusiast. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
I think the one thing about you can't fail to be enthusiastic about any form of aviation when you've been to somewhere like RAF Cosford and the air show here. We've had a fantastic display, and I mean, it's good to see the Red Arrows, but when you look at something like the Spitfire, I mean, it's still genders a sort of a whole sort of, if you like, reminder of just exactly how important that aircraft was in the war.
Absolutely, it's great to see it flying still, isn't it? And I love the aircraft, lovely noise, isn't it? The engines are beautiful.
Those Merlins, again, aren't they?
Wonderful sound. Yeah, and you know, I'd say one of those things that you say, well, thank goodness we keep these aircraft flying. Mm. You know, not just for heritage, but the fact that it celebrates, you know, the spirit of Great Britain, which is of course what we call the Vulcan.
But sadly, the Vulcan will be retired at the end of this season.
Yes, the Vulcan will be retired, which you say is very sad.
Particular reasons?
Well, because there are some. We have to work very closely with various engineering authorities, and they have said that this year they can no longer support us, they can sustain that support. So they've given us notice that they have to finish supporting us this year. Without their support, we can't get a permit to fly. Hence the reason this being the last flying season. But what I would like to say is that the support is to the hilt for the past 10 years, 12 years, since this project came into conception. And without that support, we wouldn't be able to fly either. So you add that into the mix of Sir Jack Heywood, all those things come together, plus public support and millions of pounds, and that's what's kept the aircraft in the air.
Are there going to be any other public events like this where the Vulcan will fly this year or not?
Yeah, we've got quite a few air shows planned right through to September, so I would urge the public to see her while they can.
And how will they find out about where you're going to be flying?
If they go to the Vulcan to the Sky website, www.vulcantothesky.org.
That's wonderful. And can I just say congratulations. Thank you indeed for being part of a team that's kept that Vulcan in the air all these years anyway.
It's my pleasure. It's been a real privilege to work on this project. Some great people. And when you see that aircraft thrill so many people as it has done today, thousands upon thousands of people actually in total awe of that aircraft, makes it all worthwhile.
Now, where are you going to concentrate your efforts now with the next generation of old aircraft that we're going to keep in the air?
Goodness knows, I'll have to give that some consideration, but there's plenty around to do, aren't there? Let's face it, you know. So, if the Vulcan goes, then something else will take its place in terms of, not as an aircraft, but, you know, as an opportunity to perhaps do some of the work that brings something else back into the airshow circuit as well.
Richard?
Nothing can replace the Vulcan, nothing will, but as Sean Maffitt said in his commentary, let's celebrate the fact we had it there in the first place, because people say it can never fly. It has done, it's thrilled over 22 million people, and it's been a credit to the people behind it, as you said, and it's been a privilege to work with.
Well done.
Okay, my pleasure.